like it when everything's right on track, don't you? Turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, probably one of the greatest songs ever written. Well, let me rephrase that. Probably the greatest song ever written was Amazing Grace. And we all say that when we get to heaven, that that's going to be the song that the angels can't sing. And I believe that too. I tell you, I believe when that song was written, it's written under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, don't you? But you know, a man called John Newton wrote this song. And he told the story about it. He said that when he was 7 years old, his mother passed away. And he said he remembers, as a child, his mother praying for him and calling out to the Lord on his behalf. But when she died, he got sent from boarding school to boarding school. And from there, he started going, spending time, splitting it up in between boarding schools and working out on the sea. And eventually, it led to him working full-time out on the sea. He said, I didn't have a care for God in the world. And he wasn't thinking about God, but God was thinking about him. One night, the storm got to raging. He said that his ship was in peril, that all hope was seemed to be lost, and he said he called out to God, and the Lord heard his cry. And he said 10 years later, he sat down and wrote these words, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I tell you, His grace is truly amazing. There's nothing like His grace. And you know, just for a minute this morning, I'd like to preach to you on this thought. God's grace is greater. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get started this morning. Freddie, how about praying for us? First thing we're going to see this morning is that God's grace is saving grace. And it's greater than all our understanding. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 here in verse 16 says this, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, this saving grace that we're talking about here this morning is not salvation. Salvation is the ultimate saving grace that we have. What I'm talking about this morning is, take for instance, men like Abraham and Isaac. When the Lord told Abraham to take his son and to sacrifice his son, and what I'm talking about is whenever they got to the top of that mountain that day, and whenever Abraham drew that knife back to take the life of his only son, and God sent that angel down to stop him, I'm telling you, God didn't have to stop that knife. God could have let Abraham take the life of his only son. He could have gave him another son. But I'm telling you, the reason he didn't is because God's grace was saving grace. Amen. His grace was greater than the sacrifice. I'm telling you, you think about men like Daniel. Daniel wouldn't bow down before the king. And the king told him that he couldn't pray anymore. But every day, Daniel opened up his window toward heaven. And he kneeled down and he prayed to God whether they told him to or not. You think about it, there's plenty of martyrs back then. God could allow Daniel to be another martyr. He could allow those lions to eat him that day, but he didn't. Because there was saving grace taking place right there. Amen. Same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They could all be consumed in that fire. They could have been martyrs. But I'm telling you, God's grace was saving grace upon them that day. You think about what all God's done. You think about Moses. He could have been defeated by the Egyptians, couldn't he? He could have been defeated by the desert. He could have been defeated by the Amorites. But he wasn't, because there was saving grace for Moses. Amen. Because God's grace is greater than our understanding. We can't say, well, he helps one person and he don't help the next. Let me tell you something. God's grace will always be greater than we can comprehend. We can't understand how great His grace is. Let me tell you, there's probably a good chance that there's someone here this morning that could have died in a car accident, but yet there was God's saving grace there. Amen. There's probably someone here this morning that could have died on the operating table, but guess what? There was God's saving grace there. There's people in here that we prayed for here lately that should be on their deathbed with cancer right now, but yet they're up walking around doing good, cancer-free. That's because of God's saving grace and nothing else. Let me tell you something this morning. God's grace will never fail. Whenever the doctor says, all hope's gone, whenever your friends say, hey, it's gone too far, there's no help, there's no hope, that's when God's saving grace comes in. That's when God steps in and does what no one else says He can do. I'm telling you, I'm thankful today for His grace. I'm thankful when the world says, all hope's gone, that God's grace will always be there. And His grace will do what nothing else can do, what no one else can do. I'm thankful for His grace this morning, aren't you? I'm glad that we got saving grace. Boy, there's been many a time I didn't deserve it. I didn't need it. I didn't have a chance. But I'm glad that He came along anyway. You know, we take for granted, don't we, when we read God's Word, men like we've talked about this morning, where God's delivering them. We take for granted a lot of times our past, don't we? Things that God's done for us. But let me tell you something. There's nothing short of His saving grace. It had nothing to do with us. But boy, I'm glad for His grace, aren't you? But secondly, if you will, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 this morning. Just a few pages back. Second thing we're going to see is just like that song says, God's grace will always be greater than sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says this, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Boy, aren't you thankful for that? You know, I can't help but think when I think about how God's grace is greater than sin. Probably no greater person to look at than David. You know, David was a man. The Lord said he was a man after His own heart. And David was a man that tried his best to live his life pleasing to the Lord. To try to live the best life that he could for the Lord. You know, the Lord used him in a great mighty way to defeat Goliath that day, didn't He? And David was obedient to the Lord. You think about, he could have taken Saul's life in that cave that day, didn't he? But instead, what he did, he just took a little piece of his clothing there for a little souvenir. Because David was obedient to God. The Lord told him not to take Saul's life. And you think about the things that David had done. But yet, what happened, what transpired to the place to where he walks out onto the balcony that day and looks over, and guess what? Sin entered into David's heart. And as a result of that sin, what took place? He lost the life of his own newborn son. His friend, Uriah, his close friend, a great soldier, a loyal soldier. Even when David brought him back to try to send him back home to his wife, what did he do? He wanted to sit there at David's door and protect him. He said, "You're more important to me, King." He loved his king, but yet, because of David's sin, it cost the life of this great man. And ultimately, it cost the life of his son, Absalom. You know, in Samuel, David said, "Lord, Lord, why did you do this? Why didn't you just take my life? Why my son Absalom? Why my only son? Why did you let this happen? Why didn't you just take my life?" And you know, right after that, I could just see old Satan sneaking in the door and said, David, it's all over, son. Why don't you just throw in the towel? Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just take one of your own swords and just take your own life and be done with your miserable life? Why don't you do it?" And the reason he didn't, because failure ain't final. Because God said, "I'm not through with him yet. I've still got something left for him." It's because God's grace will always be greater than our sin. It's because God said, "I've got something in store for you, son. I'm not finished with you yet." And he took David. He gave him back his kingdom. He gave him back his throne. He gave him back everything that he lost. And he said, "I'll still use you. I'll still love you." Let me tell you something. We've got that old sin nature. We're going to sin and fall short. But God's grace will be greater than our sin. God's grace will always be stronger than our failures. I'm thankful for that. You know, I can't help but thinking that sometime down the road, old David went back, Brother Fred, to that same old balcony where he'd seen before, where he had failed at the Lord, where it ultimately led to the loss of his sons. And he sat back on that balcony. And Brother Jeff, this time, he wasn't thinking about sin. He was thinking about the Lord. And I can't help but think he might have wrote these words down here. Psalms 29, he says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." You know what? How can a man, now let me tell you, this is after he lost his sons. This is after all this had taken place. How can a man go from asking God to take his life to get to this place? Because God's grace was greater. His grace was greater than all the sin. God took David up in his arms and said, "I love you. I still love you. I still care about you. I still got a plan for your life. Let me just hold you for a little while. I'll get you back where you need to be." It's nothing but God's grace. It's nothing but his grace. You know, there was a time I deserved hell, but I'm thankful that his grace was extended. There's times I've sinned and fell short. I didn't deserve a second chance, but I'm thankful that grace was extended. I'm thankful that you may be here this morning. You may think that you went too far. You may think that God can't do nothing with you anymore. But let me tell you, God's grace is greater than your sin. All you've got to do is just come back to the Father. The devil says you can't, but I'm thankful grace says you can. I'm thankful that grace will always be there. Grace will never fail. You take a man like Saul, for instance. He's a great example of grace, isn't he? You know, he started out as Saul. What was his occupation? Killing Christians. That's about as bad a thing, I guess, as a person could do, isn't it? You know, if I was going to send someone to hell, that'd probably be about the worst offense, wouldn't it? To take somebody that kills Christians for a living. But yet, what happened? God's grace was greater than his sin. God met him that day on that road and said, "I've got a plan for you." God went down and reached down and took an old sinner and picked him up and saved him by his grace. And Saul became Paul. And Paul became one of the greatest men of God that's ever walked on the face of this earth. And you know what? He can do the same for you. There's no difference in what he done for Paul and what he can do for you. And that's because his grace. That's because of his grace. You know, there's going to be coming a day when we're going to all stand before the Lord. Old Slewfoot is going to have one last say. And when we stand before him, he's going to say, "What did you do? How did he make it here?" You know what we can do? We can just look him straight in the eye and say, "Old Satan, I want you to know something. I know how I made it here. I made it by grace. I made it by God's amazing grace. It's nothing that I've done. It's nothing I deserve. But it's because of his grace. It's because of the grace that he had was greater than all my sin. It's because the grace that he had was saving grace that got me through after I accepted him as my Savior. I'm telling you this morning, I'm thankful for his grace. I'm glad that God's grace will always be greater." Boy, aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that even though we're still stuck with this old sin nature, even though we're going to slip, we're going to fall short, I'm glad his grace will always be there to pick us up again and to put us back where we need to be. I'm telling you this morning, I'm thankful for his grace, aren't you? As they come with a song, let me ask you this morning. As everyone stands, maybe you're here. Maybe you've never accepted this grace. Maybe you're saying, "Well, I'm just an old sinner. He don't want me. Why would he want anything to do with me?" Let me tell you something. He died for you. His grace was extended just for you. He died. He paid the penalty for sin so that you could go free. And all you have to do is just come down here and accept this great gift of salvation. You know, you may be here and you may say, "Well, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I remember that day. But boy, since then, there's been some things happening. Some things I shouldn't have done as a Christian. I just don't think that he can use me anymore. I don't think he can do anything with me anymore." Let me tell you though, his grace is greater than your understanding right now. He's saying, "Come down. Come here. Get into my arms of grace. Let him love on you a little bit. Let him tell you that he still loves you, still cares about you. The best thing about it, let him tell you, he's still got a plan for your life. He's still got things he wants to do with you. He wants to do through you. But what you need to do this morning is just come down into these arms of grace and just give it to him. Oh, let me tell you, he's still in control. He's still God. And his grace will always be sufficient. So whatever your need is this morning, would you come?
I ask his forgiveness when I was so wrong.
His grace is being extended right now.
I ask him to be with me when I was alone.
Would you come?
I ask him just to show me to go home. Oh, and Jesus will never say no.
Amen.
No, no, a thousand times no. Jesus thousand times no. Oh, Jesus, we'll never say no. I ask Him to be with me in life's sinking sand. I ask Him, Lord, please take me to that promised land. Then He promised that He'd never let go of my hand. Oh, and Jesus, He will never say no.
Puts food in your mouth every day. You know what brings you home every night? You know what brings you home to your family that's safe and sound every night? Gets you through everything? It's God's grace. You need to thank Him today for His grace. If it wasn't for His grace, we wouldn't be here. I'm thankful, aren't you? I just like